I wonder, just before we actually start and have a look at this, you know, just think in our own lives. I'm sure, like me, maybe you can think of an experience in your life where you felt like giving up and maybe walking away from something. And, you know, sometimes maybe in life, there are times when you have to stop, take stock and say, right, it's time to move on. But, you know, I suppose we all face circumstances where things can be tough. And when we say, enough's enough, and that's it. And, you know, just, you know, what we've been reminding ourselves week by week as we've come to the book of Hebrews, you know, that's where the Hebrew believers found themselves in their walk with the Lord. They were facing problems. They were facing persecution. And they were wavering and almost on the cusp of saying, enough's enough. We're throwing the towel in. And it was really tough for them. And, you know, we've got to the point in this book, they've been encouraged and exhorted throughout the book by the writer of the Hebrews to keep pressing on, that what they have is better than what the old system was. And we've moved into this lovely section in chapter 11, where the writer now brings before them examples of faith, and all examples which these believers could relate back to. And, you know, he's trying to use these examples to demonstrate the faith that they had and how they pressed on despite the problems and the persecution that they all faced. And I just want us just to read through. We're going to turn to Abraham. So let's just turn to verse 8 of chapter 11. We'll read the section through and then we'll see what we can learn from it. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of that same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Whenever we started looking at this chapter, we thought back to Hebrews 10, verse 35, through to Hebrews 11, verse 3. And the Hebrew believers were reminded to cast not away their confidence. They were reminded to have patience. They were reminded of the promise ahead and that the just should live by faith. And whenever you come to the end of this chapter, there's a little portion from verse 39 of chapter 11 through to the end of verse 2 in chapter 12. And we're reminded that they received witness through faith, all of these examples, and they were an example to the believers that the writer had penned these words to, and we're reminded that there is better in Christ. And we're to consider all these witnesses, and we're to look to Christ, who's the author and finisher of our faith. And we said at the outset as well that the writer had looked at each of these examples, and each was dealing with a specific issue. You know, we've thought about Abel, and Abel, it was about worship or approach to God. You know, we thought about Enoch, and that was about our walk and about heaven and keeping our eyes on heaven. We thought about Noah, and you know, Noah, well, he was a witness with regards to judgment, and we've dealt with that. And now we're going to look at Abraham. And Abraham is all about waiting. It's all about waiting. And we want to think a little about that. Each of these examples are there to encourage, to exhort, and to explain faith. And we said that faith is having confidence in God's word, no matter what the circumstances are. And you know, what the Hebrew believers have been challenged to do by the writer here was, you know, what is your response to God's word? And that's the same challenge to each and every one of us. And as we turn to Abraham, there's a lot to learn. There's about 35 verses in this chapter that are devoted to each of these examples. Abraham gets 11 out of those 35 verses. That's almost a third. So the example of Abraham is particularly important. When you go through to Genesis, he's given 13 chapters in Genesis. Again, that's a substantial portion of the book. So again, the Lord has a lot to show us through the life of Abraham. He's mentioned 237 times in the Old Testament, 74 times in the New Testament, and our Lord mentions him 19 times in the Gospels. So throughout Scripture, Abraham is particularly important. On three occasions in the Bible, he's referred to as the friend of God. And when you think about friendship, it requires faith and trust and requires fellowship. And there's lots of things we could think about there as well. What we're going to do this morning is focus in on the verses in Hebrews 11. This isn't a full character study of Abraham by any means. It's just a focus on some key and important points that the writer of the Hebrews brought before these believers who were wavering and considering turning back. I want to split this passage into five sections. We'll look at verse 8 first of all. Verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. You know, we could write over this first section, Abraham's call. Abraham's call. It starts, by faith Abraham went. It's about him going out. And you could turn back, if you wanted, to Genesis 11, verse 26, through to Genesis 12, verse 4. And that gives you lots more background in around this particular verse. But the key thing here is Abraham was called and he obeyed. He was told to get out of the country that he was in. He was told to get away from his people and also from his family. You'll see those three things if you're to go back into Genesis. And you know, what we're not going to do this morning is to go into detail and around the covenant that God gave Abraham at this time, but in each of those three things, you could see that there was going to be a national blessing, there was going to be a personal blessing for Abraham, and then there was going to be a universal blessing through him as well. And God had given Abraham a covenant. And this call came and Abraham went. He obeyed the call. And you know, the thing that you see about this verse as well is, you know, God's promise to Abraham was enough for him to act upon it, even though at that point he just didn't know where he was going. It says there at the very end of verse 8, and he went out not knowing where he went. God's call and God's covenant to him was enough, and he acted on it. By faith, Abraham went, his call. Just want to set the scene with that to start with. Abraham, when he was called, well, he was 75, the scripture records, he was 75 years old when he was called out of Haran. But he had been in Ur before that and was called out of Ur in the Chaldees. And for some reason or other, he had stopped in Haran and he had delayed there, and God called him to move out of there as well. So he probably was younger than 75 whenever he left Ur of the Chaldees. I just want you to keep that in mind as we go through this, because what we're going to think about is waiting. And that's the big example that we see in Abraham. So we see, first of all, his call. I want to look at verse 9 and 10, because we see his course, his course. Just read verse 9 and 10 again. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So first of all, in his call, we had by faith Abraham went. If we look at the course of his life, by faith Abraham dwelt. He dwelt. I want to think about this. Abraham died when he was 175 years old. So these two verses are talking about how Abraham dwelt. Now, Abraham dwelt in the promised land. He left Haran when he was 75. So this is covering 100 years. And Abraham dwelt for 100 years in the land of promise. And these verses tells us that he lived, the word used is sojourned. And if you sojourn somewhere, the suggestion is it's a temporary measure. You're only there temporarily. So for these 100 years, he sojourned. It was, as far as he was concerned, it was a temporary residence. And that's borne out as well in that it tells us here that he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. You know, and a tent is something which is very temporary. There's no real permanence with it. And you know, you could draw a parallel with Lot, because when you go back and you read the 13 or so chapters in Genesis and you look in depth at Abraham's life, Abraham dwelt in tents. He dwelt in the land of promise in tents. And he dwelt there as if it were a foreign land. He didn't put his roots down into it, because that's not where he saw the promise. But if you think about Lot, who went with him, you know, Lot decided to go down into the plains of Sodom and ended up dwelling in Sodom in houses and had gone back, but not Abraham. He lived in a tent and he looked for a city to come. He was looking to heaven because that's where he saw his citizenship, not on this earth. See, Abraham had met with God, and nothing on this earth could compare to what God had promised him and to what he had seen would be the future. And his focus was entirely on heaven, and that's where he knew his citizenship was. And for 100 years, he dwelt in tents. It was temporary. There was 100 years of waiting till he got to that city which had foundation, something which he could trust on and rely on. And you know, we're reminded too in the New Testament of where our citizenship is, that it's in heaven, it's not in this earth. And yet so often we live on this earth as if it were going to go on forever and ever, and as if we were going to go on forever as well. So Abraham, we've thought of his call, we've thought of his course. I want to look at verses 11 and 12 now. I want to think about the covenant just very briefly. 11 and 12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Here we see Sarah brought in as a picture of faith along with Abraham in these two verses. And we've thought by faith Abraham went, by faith Abraham dwelt, and here we have by faith Sarah conceived and delivered a child. And the focus has moved to Sarah here, but Abraham is very much in sight as we look at this. And we thought in Abraham's call of the covenant, when you go back into Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, and at the age of 75, Abraham was promised that he'd be a great nation as part of that covenant. And when you go through Genesis, you'll see the covenant is reaffirmed on a number of occasions. In Genesis 13, verses 14 to 17, God reaffirms his covenant with Abraham. And he goes on and he says to Abraham that his seed will be as the dust of the earth. And then in Genesis 15, 1 to 6, God reaffirms the covenant to Abraham again. And he's promised an heir. He's promised that his seed will be as the stars in the heavens. And you know, Abraham was 75 whenever he left Haran. And, you know, the covenant was reaffirmed at various points here. And Abraham, I'm sure, was wondering about this promise, about being a great nation, about his seed being as the dust of the earth and as the stars of the sky. And he hadn't an heir. And you know, that's whenever Sarah came up with the scheme with Hagar and Ishmael was born. And Abraham was about 86 at that stage. But you know, that wasn't what God had intended. And God made that very clear to Abraham. And then God reaffirms the covenant to Abraham again in Genesis 17. And God says that he would multiply him exceedingly. And he promised him a son. And God's words to Abraham at that point were, "Walk thou before me and be thou perfect." God was encouraging Abraham, you know, stick with what I've told you. My promise should be enough. And you know, through all of this, you know, in Genesis 17, you know, Abraham, he laughed. Genesis 17, Sarah was probably about 90 years old. And Abraham laughed at what God said to him. In Genesis 18, whenever the Lord visited with Abraham and Sarah heard the promise being given about a child, she laughed within herself because she knew she was past having children. But then God came back to her and said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And you know, Abraham and Sarah took God at his word and they judged him faithful because he'd given the promise. And in Genesis 21, you see Isaac born to Abraham. And Abraham was 99 years old at that point. So again, what you can see in these verses is about 25 years of waiting from when Abraham was told that he would become a great nation. And at various points through those 25 years, God's promise reaffirmed to him. And we see the promise brought to fruition. So Abraham, again we see waiting, marking out his walk with the Lord. So we have his call, his course, we've seen the covenant. I want us to think about his confidence in the Lord as well. Let's look at verse 17 through to 19. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, In Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. So we've had, by faith Abraham went, by faith Abraham dwelt, by faith Sarah conceived and delivered a child, and now we have, by faith Abraham offered Isaac. Abraham was probably around 117 at this point, Isaac about 17, 18 years old. And the Lord wanted Abraham to offer his only son, a son who he loved, a son who he had longed for, and no doubt a son that he lived for as well. And he also knew that if God's promise was to be fulfilled and he was to become a great nation, that if his seed was to be as the dust of the earth and the stars of the sky, that if he were to offer his son, where would that promise be? But you know, Abraham had great confidence in God. Abraham had waited over those 25 years or so for a son. Abraham had seen God at work through that time as well. And you know, Abraham took God at his word, and he trusted that the Lord would provide. And God provided. And you know, you can look at this story in detail in Genesis 22. But you know, when God provided the ram that was caught in the thicket, he then went on after the sacrifice, and God reaffirmed his covenant again. And he told Abraham that he would multiply his seed as the stars and as the sand of the seashore. Abraham had real confidence in God in what must have been the most challenging situation he faced in his entire walk. But you know, just before we leave this section and draw things to a conclusion, I'm sure Abraham wondered, I've got one son and I'm going to become a great nation. You know, Abraham was probably around 140 by the time Isaac got married. And he was near 160 by the time Isaac had Jacob and Esau. So I want you to notice the time span again. We've about 85 years from God made the promise of him becoming a great nation. And he's got Isaac and two grandsons along the line that God had promised. But you know, he still waits on the Lord and he trusts on him. So we've looked at his call, his course, his covenant and his confidence. In terms of drawing things to conclusion, let's just think again about his citizenship. And let's look at verse 13 to 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham went, by faith Abraham dwelt, by faith Sarah conceived and delivered a child, and by faith Abraham offered Isaac. And here we see that he died in faith. He was 175 years old. And we start to get into the why here. You know, Abraham failed on a number of occasions. And we can see that clearly when we go through the book of Genesis. He delayed in Haran when he should have went on. He went into Egypt when he should have stayed. He deceived Pharaoh in Egypt. He failed as well over the whole issue with Hagar. He failed with Abimelech as well and told lies there. And you know, there's probably an awful lot about Abraham's life that we know nothing about. He lived to be 175. Politicians who spent maybe sort of 10 years in senior positions can write memoirs that run till 1,000 pages. We've got 13 chapters in a man who lived 175 years. So God has only recorded in scriptures those things that he needs us to know and to learn from. But I'm sure Abraham failed many times and faced many challenges just like each of us. You know, what we've got in scripture is what marked him out. And that's what's important for us to remember and to learn from. And the things that marked him out as different are quite simple. Firstly, he took God at his word. He took God at his word. Secondly, he saw God's hand in his life. And that built upon the first promise for him. Thirdly, he didn't look back. The one thing we never read of Abraham is him ever looking back to where he came out of. He kept pressing forward. Even with these failures, he never looked back. He pressed forward. He never looked back to Ur. He probably had a nice house in Ur. It was a well-developed civilization. But he forsook it all for his temporary tent. Because the fourth thing that marks him out is he desired better. He desired better. He had his eye on heaven. And God had revealed to him what was ahead. And he longed for that. And he died in faith, not having actually received the promise in his life. And he trusted God throughout. For over 100 years, he trusted God and he waited on God. And you know, as we draw this study just to a conclusion on his life, the challenge, I suppose, that the writer of the Hebrews was bringing to these believers here, and he uses their father Abraham as an example, because Abraham is someone that they could relate to. And the example to us as well is, what is our response going to be to God's word? You know, the Hebrew believers here, their circumstances were such that it was causing them, you know, to look back to where they had come from and to hark back to the old things. It was keeping them from trusting. And I suppose the challenge for us is will we let our circumstances keep us from trusting, no matter what those circumstances might be? And you know, the difficulties and the trials these Hebrew believers were facing, the one thing they needed more than anything else was patience. Patience to see things through. They needed to wait on God and persevere on. And you know, the writer brought before them Abraham. And Abraham was a pilgrim. He was on a pilgrimage. You know, the promised land, that wasn't where he saw his future. He looked to heaven and he saw it as a pilgrim journey through. And you know, as we, you know, go on for the Lord, we need to wait patiently on him and persevere on, because this life is just but a journey to what's ahead and what the Lord has for us. And we should make, like Abraham, our citizenship in heaven and not on this earth. And we should seek to be a people of faith for him. So that's Hebrews 11 verses 8 through to 19 on Abraham. And the real lesson is waiting on God. We'll just close in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the example of Abraham. And Father, we thank you for how he waited upon you. And Father, how you dealt with him in his life. And Father, how he saw you work in his life. And Father, we think of the things that marked him out. And Father, help us to take from this and learn from it. We think of how he pressed towards a heavenly home. And Father, how his citizenship was in heaven and not on earth. Father, there are so many things in this life that can distract us. Father, there are so many things that can discourage us. But Father, just help us to determine in our own hearts to press on for you and to take you at your word, to trust you and to be people of faith for you. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.